Lord Krishna is our eternal companion. Anywhere or everywhere, Krishna is always with us. It is said that in many ways Krishna is with us. Krishna is present in the material world as the Paramatma. It is Siddhasu Parama Sayuja Sakaya. There are two birds seated on the branches of a tree. One of those birds is the living being. The other bird is the Supreme Lord in the form of Paramatma, who is there alone, alone with the living being, never ever leaving him for a moment, but always there. In many ways, Krishna is there. After all, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. That everything in this universe know that I am the cause of this, and that everything is going on by my will alone. So in this way, Krishna is also with us, because whatever happens to us, we can see that it is Krishna's plan. Therefore, nothing is going on by chance, by good luck or bad luck. You know, it's my tough luck. Oh boy, why is this happening to me? No, there is Krishna. Of course, then the next step may be, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? But that's not very humble. That's not an attitude. That's an attitude where we think, I've got it all figured out. I've got it all figured out. I'm supposed to be happy here. And Krishna, who's in control of everything, is not cooperating. Get it together, you know? I mean, really. So that attitude is not an attitude of worshipping at all. That is an attitude where we are demanding, who is Lord? Right? I am, who is whose servant, really? Then we treat Krishna as our order supplier, and we are demanding from Krishna. But who said that the material world was meant for happiness anyway? The material world has only one purpose: for us to learn, for us to simply learn and grow, and no other purpose at all. And even if you want another purpose out of it, that doesn't work. At the end of the day, all that you'll get from life is that you'll learn a lesson and grow. And that's what gray hairs are all about. I shaved them off, but it doesn't help. Still, we are here to learn a lesson. And Krishna is making the arrangements. He is making the arrangements to elevate us. That is his purpose. His purpose is to lift up all living beings. Somehow or other, we have gone down. We have gone down in selfishness. We have gone down in a mood of exploitation. Oh yes. Everyone is exploiting everyone else. That's the name of the game, somehow or other. The living being is trying to exploit the entire universe. And basically, that is our preoccupation. What to say? But Krishna's purpose is indeed to make us humble. Krishna's purpose is to gradually bring us to the point of manmana bhava mat bhakto majaji mam namaskaro, where we bow down. Unless we bow down. Bowing down means to give up our pride. It is said a tree that is laden with fruits will naturally bow down. So in the same way, a person who has all good qualities will naturally bow down. But one who doesn't have all good qualities stands there erect in pride and don't you know who I am? Don't you know my greatness, my glories? Just see all my good qualities. But in the material world, everyone will encounter someone who is greater than himself. And that's very frustrating for a proud man. It can't be true. Oh no, my whole life has been destroyed now. Misery, I thought I was the number one. Now, I'm just a nobody. Oh, heartbroken, dream shattered. Shattered dreams, so many dreams. Yes, dreaming is really what material life is all about. We dream. We dream that we will meet the perfect person, the perfect match, as if there's such a thing. I mean, everyone is waiting, right? The boys are waiting for Cinderella. And see, right? Pumpkin ready and everything, and that little shoe, the whole thing. Yes. The girls are waiting for the prince on his horse, who never came. Okay, so, all that is going on. Everyone is looking for the perfect match. And today I have news for you, and I'm so sorry to tell you, but the perfect match doesn't exist. That's it. Too bad. There is no perfect match. It's rather turns into a boxing match. It's not a perfect match, it's somehow or other, relationships are interesting things. I was reading about relationships from our psychologist, Carl Jung, and he said something which I thought was interesting. He said relationships are just like when two chemicals come together. If there's a reaction, then there's a transformation. So that is nice. In relationships, sometimes there's no reaction. Just meet someone, no reaction. Strangers meet and part again as strangers. But sometimes there is a reaction. And then a transformation. Yes. So the same happens in the relationship with Krishna. There is a reaction and then a transformation. So this is our aim, to develop that relationship with Krishna. All other relationships are secondary. I was in Delhi for the opening of the temple, and there was high-level security. Incredible security. Black cat commandos with sniffer dogs were checking out the whole temple. Next moment they were in my room and I was tested with a metal detector. I was not explosive. I was cleared and I was a VVIP and I was allowed in the building. The people, somehow or another, the government cleaned the streets, believe it or not, and they were clean. Never seen it before, but miracles do exist. And subsequently, when the Prime Minister of India was there that day, all the devotees were in ecstasy because the most important person in India was there on that day. And that's exactly what the Prime Minister said when he gave his speech. He said, yes, today, the most important person in India is present here in this temple, namely Sri Krishna Bhagavan. And it took the Prime Minister of India to enlighten the devotees who at that moment were sort of thinking about somebody else. So just see, somehow or other, our relationship with Krishna. This relationship with Krishna is like any other relationship. Just like in a marriage, when you forget your wife, you're in trouble. When you're not thinking of her, then you're in trouble. Take it from me. If you don't believe, if you have no experience, then take it from me, it is like that. They want to be the center of your attention. That's basically what it is, you know. And you can tell them. You can tell them while looking in their beautiful eyes and say, you are no doubt the dearmost person to me after Krishna. How romantic, isn't it? But that is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. There's that story of the wrestler in South India who was very much impressed by this beautiful girl and who served her so nicely. He was opening doors and holding parasols and everything he could do to please her. So one day Ramanuja Acharya, he saw that person, and he said to the man, he said, why are you serving her in this way? And the boy just said, she is so beautiful. And then Ramanuja Acharya said, you call that beautiful? Now, if it would have been anyone else, you know, they would have been in serious trouble. But since it was a sadhu, the wrestler held himself back, although he felt an urge. Then Ramanuja Acharya said, if you want to see what beautiful is all about, I will show you. Okay, you show me. All right, meet me tomorrow at 7. So they met the next day at 7 in the street. And then Ramanuja took that wrestler and took him through many different alleys, left, right, around this corner, that corner. And suddenly, they stood in front of the deities. And because of the presence of the pure devotee, the wrestler had a special experience, something that you cannot just get without mercy. But because of the mercy of the Vaishnava, suddenly, for a moment, he saw the deity in all its transcendental beauty. And for a moment, he realized that Ramanuja was right. And that actually, the beauty of Krishna was much greater than the beauty of... Hey, Baba, you cannot call for the Havana. Hey! Saw the beauty of Krishna, and that day he changed completely. And from that day on he became a devotee, and he made that lady also a devotee, and the roles reversed. Instead of him always serving her, she was always serving him after that. And they became initiated disciples of Ramanuja Acharya. Then time went on, and one day the brahmacharis in the ashram, they were criticizing those fallen householders who were so attached. So attached they are, those householders. just into collecting all kinds of material things. Just see how she's decked out with gold, you know? Gold everywhere, like a Christmas tree. Well, I don't know, maybe they didn't say that in South India at that time, but anyway, something like that. Gold everywhere. So then, that night, when everyone was deep asleep, Ramanujacharya went to the Brahmachari ashram, and all the dhotis of the Brahmacharis were hanging over the washing line drying. And Ramanuja went up to every dhoti, and he ripped like a strip of every dhoti. Very nice. And he took the cloth and then left. Then he went to the house of his Grihastha disciples, and when he was inside, he went up, he sneaked up to the sleeping householder, and he started to take the earring out of the ear of the lady, and then he even slid off a golden bangle. Then she woke up and she realized, she sort of saw, it's Guru Maharaj. He's taking my earring. Oh, I should give him my other one as well, but he can't reach it because I'm sleeping on it. So she decided to turn around. So Ramanuja immediately left, you know, quickly. So then she woke up her husband, told her the whole story, who chastised her and said, you nonsense, why did you turn over that and disturb him like that? He said, give me that earring. So it was morning, and just around Mangalar tea time, just before, and our Grihastha was just on the way to the temple, and the Brahmacharis were waking up, and it was a major riot. They were accusing each other for ripping pieces off their cloth. And finally they said, who took a piece off my cloth? Was it you? Was it him? Was it everyone? Big fight. Then Ramanujacharya said, what's going on here? Yes, he took a piece of my dhoti. No, he took a piece of my dhoti. No, he took a piece of mine. Then Ramanuja said, who took a piece of your dhoti? And he pulled from behind his back all the pieces of the cloth. No, who took a piece of your dhoti? And he held up the pieces of cloth. Just then, the householder arrived and said, Guru Maharaj, you were taking the earrings, but you forgot something. Here, please take these also. And he came to bring the rest. And then Ramanujacharya said, see, who is attached? Who is attached? So ultimately, it's about dedicating ourselves to Krishna. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what our position is. It doesn't matter whether we are married and have 13 children. It's okay. Not even otaku. It was fine. One year I was in Brazil and I came to a householder who had 13 children, and he introduced me to the whole family. And when he introduced his eldest son, he said, this is the temple commander, that is the head pujari, those are the sankirtan devotees, she's in charge of the kitchen. And like this, he had organized his whole house like an ISKCON temple, and it worked fine. They did well. 13 children. No problem. So, the point is that when we are serving Krishna, everything becomes auspicious. When we really serve Krishna and not take for ourselves and glorify Krishna, then people will recognize it. And people will start helping us, people will come forward. Therefore, there is no shortage. So many people think that you need a job to maintain. Why do you need a job? Just open a temple. There are so few temples in South Africa. There are so many cities where there are no temples. Open a temple and preach. It's not a problem. It can be done. That was Prabhupada's program, wasn't it? Any householder, couple could open a temple. Prabhupada said even one person could open a temple. And Burijan, He sent Buridan to Hong Kong, of all places, Hong Kong. So after 6 months in Hong Kong, he couldn't take it anymore. You know, everybody Chinese and this, that. Too much noodles and so when Prabhupada was in Australia, Buridan visited Prabhupada in Australia, and he wasn't planning to go back to Hong Kong. So as soon as Prabhupada saw him, he said, "What are you doing here? When are you going back to Hong Kong?" "Well, I'm not sure, Prabhupada, I'm going back." Prabhupada said, "No, I want you to go back." "Yeah, but Prabhupada, I'm all alone. I don't know if I can make it." Prabhupada said, "Okay, no problem. I'll send you a wife. Just go back." And he went back to Hong Kong. And after 2 weeks, she arrived. And she landed. And she got off the plane and said, "Pleased to meet you. I'm your wife." And they're still married today. After I don't know how many, you know, years. So, what can we say? Very simple. In this way, it is not so difficult, the struggle for existence. There is no struggle for existence when we are really dedicating ourselves to Krishna, because the more we dedicate ourselves to Krishna, the more people will have faith in us. The more people will trust us. They can see. Anyone can see if it's real or if it's fake. Right? We can see. Or at least, as they say, you can feel some of the people some of the time. You can cheat some of the people some of the time. You can cheat some of the people all of the time, but you cannot cheat all of the people all of the time. And ultimately, when it's fake, when we are, people will not buy it. When it's only lip service, people will not buy it. But when we are genuinely trying in devotional service, then definitely, then automatically, our mission will be successful. And Krishna helps. Because Krishna is with every living being, and Krishna is within the heart. And therefore Krishna can just change the heart of every living being. We were hearing book distribution stories, and every book distributor has these experiences where people suddenly change. No, I don't want it. And then some change in the person. And then suddenly he just takes it. And we know what happened. The super soul interfered. It's the super soul who did it. Yeah? Very simple. Just from within, change the heart. And the person will take. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purports, Srila Prabhupada explains that he said, when we are coming to Krishna consciousness, we are not coming because of our own sincerity. Who is sincere in this age of coming? How much sincerity do we really have? Not that much. Janmaishvarya Sutra Sidhir Eidamana Madhavan Nagarati Abhagavatam Bhai Tarma Kinchana Guru Charami. One who is not interested in his position of birth. One who doesn't care about a position of money, about being wealthy. One who is not interested in impressing others with his learning. And one who doesn't care about impressing others with beauty. Only such a person can approach Krishna with sincere feeling. So who can say that he's in that category? Who can say? So how deep is our sincerity? Not so deep. So many other motivations. Vidyananda Maharaj once gave this example. He said the brahmacharis had a meeting, and the meeting was about the problem caused by the ladies during the kirtan. Okay? Therefore, they decided in the meeting, they passed the resolution that ladies should be banned from kirtan. Yeah? That was it. Yes, ladies, The resolution was passed, but then one of the brahmacharis said, wait a minute, we can't pass this resolution, we can't do this. And then the other one said, why not? Then the brahmacharis said, if we ban the ladies, then who will we do kirtan for? Touché. So, what can we say? It is like that. It's not so easy. Bhakta Romeo and Bhakti Juliet with Radharadana in the background. He's black. It's quite something. So, what shall we say? It is not easy to serve Krishna without personal motivation. But we should try. We should try by volunteering. It's by volunteering. We may not be pure. What can you do? That may take some time. But anyway, we just do service and we don't ask anyone anything for it. By always being eager to do service, somehow or another. We see devotees who go out and book distribution and struggle. It's not easy, someone said. But it becomes easier and easier. Because in the beginning, we think, no one's going to take these folks. No one. Somehow or other, they send me out here today. Oh, poor me. With these folks. And who in the world will buy them? First of all, the religious books. Nobody's interested. Hare Krishna books. No, who wants them? Nobody. And second of all, they're really expensive also. Nobody will want to pay the price. Nobody. It's impossible. Please take a book. Go ahead. There is this a story about the palace of opportunities. And this dog, he walked into this palace. And as he walked into the palace, he saw many, many other dogs. He wagged his tail, and all the other dogs wagged their tail as well. Then he told his friend to also go into that palace, that it was a great place. His friend wasn't so sure. His friend was scared. So when a dog is scared, they show the teeth, the tail between the legs. So this dog went into the palace of opportunity, and there were thousands of dogs showing their teeth, tail between the legs. So yes, so if we are thinking it's all impossible, then people will bark at us and so on. But as we are gaining confidence, and as we realize Krishna is here, and yes, everyone wants these books. They just don't know it yet. But they want. They want. They need them. Actually, all their desires will be fulfilled with these books. And we are convinced. Then everyone starts taking. And Krishna will give us intelligence in this way. It just becomes possible. And as they say, the best technique is to flatter people. And Vaisheshika, who is like one of the best book distributors in this movement, he says, you cannot. I used to think that you can flatter people too much. He said, I was wrong. There is no limit to how much you can flatter someone and how much they love it. So, like that. What can we say? So, Krishna is always there with us wherever we are. And Krishna consciousness means So if you see that, that is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness just simply means that we are aware of that. And when we are not so Krishna conscious, then we keep on forgetting. We keep on forgetting Krishna. And each time we forget Krishna, we think, so I'm all alone, on my own, nobody's watching. Now I can do what I want. But there are 13 witnesses at all times. The earth and the sky, the sun and the moon, the sky, the directions, and a few more, and ultimately a super soul. Therefore, Yamaraj, of course, is one of them. So therefore, we should know, we are never alone. Never alone, never ever. We're always with Krishna, and therefore every moment must be offered to Him. Every moment. And that we have to practice now. And that's why we have the temple. We have the temple because temples are designed for that purpose. Right? In a temple, Krishna is the center. In a temple, we make offerings to Krishna. So we come here to sort of get a new boost, so that we can continue to do the same thing wherever we are, to always offer everything to Krishna. Therefore, a devotee is like a pujari, and he sees the whole world is an altar, and everything is bhoga, and you just take the bhoga, purify it a little, and then offer it to Krishna. As simple as that. So that's our business, just making offerings to Krishna all the time. And that's the whole life. And if you live that life, how nice it will become. And some are smiling, and yes, Swami. I'm not sure if tomorrow, on Monday, tomorrow night, when you're all alone, if it's going to be the same. When we're all alone, it may be more difficult to remember Krishna. That is why we come together. Therefore, there should be a program every night. And one should go to, if you can remember Krishna all by yourself, no problem. Then stay home all by yourself. Fine. But if it's a little difficult to remember Krishna all by yourself, or just within the family, then check out where there is a program on which day of the week. Monday is Vivaran, isn't it? Since eternity. Always been there. So like that. And you in Chatsworth somewhere. Isn't it? Still there. In Chatsworth, wasn't there something on Monday? On Yud? Yeah, you say Monday. Nobody goes to these things anymore. But somehow or other, we are in this way, we can just remember reality in the association of devotees, that Krishna is always present. And spiritual life is that simple. If you just remember that Krishna is always present, then suddenly everything falls into place. It's only when you forget Krishna that all problems begin. So any questions, any comments? About Chandan Yatra. A few minutes about Chandan Yatra. I don't know if I have a few minutes about Chandan Yatra. Chandan Yatra, it's an offering that is made to the Lord in Vrindavan in the hot season, when it's even more hot than here now. When in some temples, they put a shower literally, it's a bathroom shower at the top, just to cool the temple. And at that time, when it is over, when it is so hot, then they cover the deity. In Chanda, it's not a particular pastime that I remember with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna performing Chanda Yantra. It might be, but definitely not the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, I'm not sure. But obviously, Krishna, when he was present in his body, would also be covered in chanda. They wouldn't just put a little chanda on the forehead, but when it was hot, they would put chanda all over, because sandalwood is very cooling, and therefore it is being performed. Because there is that reference to the story of Madhavendra Puri, who was asked by Gopal, who had been kept in the sand, in the hot sand for a long time because the deity was hidden from the Muslims. The deity asked to be covered in sandalwood. But that's not the beginning of Chanda Yatra. So, Chanda Yatra, offerings of Chanda or sandalwood are one of the five principal offerings made to the deity. We are offering, we are bathing the Lord, we're offering snan, we're offering some ganda, some sand, then we're offering chandan, and then we're offering arati, and then we're offering naivedya, or some bulk, some offering of bulk. So that is like a standard offering that is being made to the Lord. So chandan is one of the offerings made to the Lord, and in hot weather, especially pleasing to Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Yeah. I came from very far, so you have to give me a few questions. And on Wednesday, I left Mayapur at 5 a.m. I drove to Calcutta, I flew to Bombay, then I reached Abu Dhabi at late night. Then on Thursday, I met with the architect for the Mayapur city, who showed me the Mayapur city plan. And till 10:30 at night, all day, showed me the whole Mayapur master plan. Then on Friday, we had three Friday programs. I'm still hoarse from it. Yesterday, I came to Durban and reached late at night. And now, this is the second Sunday feast, and now I'll ask some questions. Because tomorrow I'm leaving again, so we've got to do it all in one go. So. Yeah, if you. Yeah, you get the mic. It's coming. Run. All the way to the wall, yeah. Pass it on to the ladies. Give it to the ladies. What are you doing? You're not going to run into that. That side of the wall, are you? Krishna, Krishna. It doesn't work? I don't know. Who turned it off?
The red light is on.
It's
Śmita Krishna will
tell you not how it works. He says it must be a red light on. Okay, speak loud.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your quick visit to Durban. But we are so fortunate to have your mercy. You were talking about how we need to be without motive in pure devotional service, or engaging in devotional service. May I ask, how do we marry the quest for having no motive with having a desire for Krishna? Thank you.
Yes. Devotional service is given to us by devotees. You cannot take devotional service. Devotional service is a gift. And because that element comes in, that a superior Vaishnava is asking us to do a service, and then we do that service, that's where the selfless element comes in. We just do what the superior Vaishnava wants, what they ask, not what we think that, well, what I will offer to Krishna. No. No, what the Vaishnavas ask us to do. And it is there that, yeah, that you can overcome that selfish motivation. Of course, even if we do service for Krishna and there is some personal motivation, it doesn't matter, because the service is still absolute, and it will purify our hearts from personal desires. So over time, the personal desires will diminish. But if we quickly want to rise above, yes, then we must serve a superior Vaishnava. And that is the trick. And therefore, one must be eager to serve the Vaishnavas in that way. There is a parampara, and the parampara is not only the parampara of spiritual masters, but also a parampara of senior devotees. So the senior devotees, they are recognized by other senior devotees, and that is why they are getting leading positions. And we just serve them. We just serve them. So even cooperating with the temple president or other leaders in the temple is actually beneficial for us. Even if sometimes you think, yeah, but it seems that even these leaders are not free from other motivations. Maybe not. Maybe not. But still, because they are connected within a structure, therefore they are connected to the essential orders of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada obviously had some main instructions, some main desires. And the leadership in our movement is particularly dedicated to fulfilling the main desires of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, they somehow or other, when we get connected with them, then the closer we get to these senior devotees, the more we also get connected to fulfilling the main desires of Srila Prabhupada, and suddenly we find ourselves in hot water, having to do something difficult. And just like these devotees going out on book distribution. I mean, very few of us were door-to-door salesmen before Krishna consciousness. Very few. And definitely many of us never dreamt that this was the most desired thing, but somehow or other for Krishna, we can do. We can do. Because Lord Nityananda went to every home and gave that instruction to go to every home and bring Krishna consciousness to every home. So we can see how the acharyas are connected with fulfilling the main desires of the Supreme Lord. And those who are within the structure, even if they themselves may not be perfectly pure, And even if they have some characteristics that you don't like or don't trust, you know, if you would ask me, do you trust every leader in ISKCON? I would honestly tell you, no. I don't. I mean, to be honest, yeah, I wouldn't. But do I trust that every leader is well connected with Prabhupada's instruction? Yes, I do. And therefore, I can cooperate with them, even if sometimes there's something lacking in personal advancement. So, we connect with the structure. And we connect with the structure. Because that structure is dedicated to the fulfilling the main desires of the Acharyas and of Krishna. Then we become free from personal motivation. It has to come from sacrifice in devotional service, you see. Can I come from anything else? Really? That we just put our own ideas aside and just do something. And over time that we take responsibility for Prabhupada's movement and then we just volunteer. And we become very flexible and we say yes to whatever the Vaishnavas desire. You know, like in 1986, Lokanath Maharaj came to me and he said, can you take care of Padayatra? Padayatra meant a wild elephant, a camel that would bite people, a whole caravan of tractors and exhibitions, and 150 to 200 Indian villagers, you know. And he asked me to take care of them. So I said, Maharaj, I am so busy. I was building the samadhi, I was in charge of all the construction in Mayapur. I said, Maharaj, I'm so busy, I just have no time. I just said, for nothing. Maharaj, please ask someone else. He said, in my village, if you want to get something done, you never go to a man who is not busy. He said, because if you go to a man who's not busy, he's lazy, he won't do anything. And you go to a man who's busy, he may not have much time, but because he's active by nature, at least he'll do something. So how could I say no? And this year he came to me, and on an impossible date, when I'm really busy in Mayapur, he wants me to go to Noida to open his new temple in Delhi, Noida, Delhi. And I said, Maharaj, how can I go? And he said, and he told me the same story again. Gosh. So, okay, I'm going to Noida on the 12th of February for the opening of the Delhi temple, the new temple in Delhi. Didn't really want to go. He knew it. But I'm going because Lokanath Maharaj wants it. So what can we do? Let the Vaishnavas, let them control our life. Let's not be miserly and think about me and my petty little desires and what is important for me. I have to pay myself, huh? Yeah, I pay my own ticket. No problem. I'm happily paying my own ticket, and I'll be happy to go to Noida because Lokanath Maharaj will smile at me. And with that smile, maybe I'll get some selflessness in my heart, you know. Finally get rid of my personal motivation. When the Vaishnavas smile upon me. Okay, I guess the party's over because you have no more questions. Then what can I do? I'll see you again Advaita Yatra. I've heard Advaita Yatra's back. But we have gained tremendously because I heard there's also will be a rainbow festival or whatever it's called. You know, which I think is great gain for ISKCON South Africa, for pushing our Brahms mission as a whole. So I'll come for that also.